All right, here we go.
Here we go.
Time for a show.
Oh, showtime.
I'll go quickly. Okay. Head to TravisCrutcher.com. That's all things speaking, podcast consulting, one-on-one success coaching. You can check that out there. You can also head to TearItDownApparel.com and check out swag. The new t-shirt launch actually went really well.
Yes.
People really dug it. It says, I'm not for everyone, and neither are you. So buy one of those shits.
That's right.
I wear it. I have a t-shirt that says the same thing. Anyway, those are the spots. TravisCrutcher.com, TearItDownApparel.com. Hit it.
My spot is TeamHopeLifters.com, my space on the interwebs. I also have Hope Lifters gear there, t-shirts, sweatshirts, little tote bags, cover for your phone. Check it out.
Check it out. Hey, also, we'll just talk about it real briefly. We're not going to say what it is, but we are going to be launching a new website.
Yes.
Soon.
Yes.
And it's going to be us and a couple of other awesome humans. We're going to be working together to pump out some good stuff in the universe. So we will announce that officially next week, but just know that it's coming.
That's right. And it's exciting.
It is. It's exciting stuff.
That's right.
It's exciting.
Make a mark in your notebook.
Yep. Make your mark. All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
Without further
or do.
On with the show.
You can't go over it. You can't go under it. You've got to tear it down.
All right, here we go.
Here we are.
So before we started, remix. Before we started, we were deliberating, drop the bass. We were deliberating, yes. Fucking words are hard. We were deliberating whether or not we were going to do a spicy episode.
Yes.
Or an empowering episode.
We like the spice, but we also like empowering.
So we're going to go empowering. But before we do, there's what I was going to use to trigger the spice.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'll just drop it here.
Just a little sprinkle.
Just a little paprika on top, right? Right. I'm going to just play a little bit of something here for you.
Okay.
And it'll just be food for thought.
Okay.
For next week.
Oh.
And if you guys are listening, you're like, I want to hear what they have to say about that. Nice. Just, leave a comment on Spotify right. and we'll do what we can. Right. So here you go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
I know what this is.
Okay, so for the
for those of you that didn't have the pleasure of viewing
this song,
right,
is fucking titled "Days of Girlhood."
Days of Girlhood,
and it's by none other than Dylan Mulvaney,
who
is a motherfucking man.
Right.
Anyway, so that's all. Well, let's go with the empowering show, though.
Right. So resonate on that for a week or so.
Let and that we'll permeate.
Come back to it.
Yeah. Just calling all women, he says.
Oh, gosh.
He fucking says.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Okay.
So you asked for it. Yep. You want empowering. Here we go.
Okay.
So it's good that you chose empowering because yes. I actually have some stuff I want to talk about.
Oh, excellent.
It's really good news since we do a podcast, and that has a lot to do with talking.
Yes.
So a thought that kind of was generated from conversations I'm having recently. And it kind of goes in line with a little bit like a next step to what we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about fear in the past.
Yep.
But what we haven't really talked about too much in relation to fear is taking risks.
Mm.
And just today, in fact, I had two very different conversations with two very different humans.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them has really embraced the notion of change and is leaning into taking calculated risks.
Yeah.
And really, we got to spend an hour like celebrating all the fucking big breakthroughs, all the amazing things that have happened because they've said, you know what? I'm not going to be fearful anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to what if this shit to death. I'm going to take the risk and see where it takes me.
Right.
And they've had amazing successes. Contrarily, much shorter conversation, but someone else who's just not comfortable taking a risk.
Yeah.
And it's funny because the particular individual in question who's not comfortable taking the risk falls into they are in this net of similar people
mm-hmm.
who I've dealt with who are just afraid to take the risk.
Yeah.
And all these people are in the exact same fucking start point they've been for the last 3-4 fucking years.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
And it's one of those things. So I wanted to talk about it a little bit today because risk is scary.
Yes.
Taking a risk is a fucking scary thing. Yeah. And I could sit here and outline legitimately hundreds of situations that I've been in
Yes.
Where I had to take a calculated risk.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I can tell you, I wouldn't be here now living the life that I'm living in the way that I live it had I not taken those calculated risks.
Right.
So what is it? I mean, I talk to clients about this all the time. Some of it goes way back to childhood.
Yeah.
Some of it goes back to perceptions from other people. Mm-hmm. Like, in your experience, what is it that you find when you're dealing with people is the biggest thing that keeps them from taking calculated risks?
Man, there's a lot. I think, obviously, nobody wants to fail. You know, nobody wants to say, oh, I'm going to do this thing, and they put it out there.
So glad you brought up failure. Right? That was part of our conversation. Go ahead.
And nobody wants to say, I'm going to do this thing, and then they put it out there, and then for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. It's much harder than they thought. It's way more time than they thought. It's not what they thought. And so it's not working out. And regardless of how much people see, just you knowing that it's not working is enough to dash those hopes.
Sure.
Of I'm going to make this happen really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
And I would say the next thing, and probably one that's close to me, is actually being fearful of success.
Yeah.
What if I make it, but what if I can't repeat it? What if people, they love something that I said, they love something that I wrote, they love some video that I made, but then they come back to me and it's all falling flat. And they're like, well, okay, one hit wonder. We'll see you later.
No, it's funny. You know, I was thinking about that because we actually did a show years ago.
Yeah.
About fear of success.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you brought it back up because it really has been years. And I don't know what episode number it was.
No, it was.
Different show title, different intro.
Yeah, everything.
shittier equipment, whatever. But.
But the same brilliant minds powering that show.
Right. And I was there too.
Hey, wait a minute.
And so, but it's true. Like, and I remember on that episode, and I've used this analogy since then, is it's kind of like the sophomore album.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
How many bands, you know, I know you're listening, Josh, chime in, brother. How many bands out there release a banger, right?
Right?
Their debut album is the shit.
Yep.
And then that sophomore album is just terrible.
Right. People come clamoring back because they loved you. And
they're
then
going,
they're like,
what the fuck is this shit? And, you know, there's one that always pops in mind. I hate to pick on them because they've redeemed themselves, but Atreyu.
Yeah.
When Atreyu's first studio album, so it was really their second album, where their first studio album came out, it took a minute to win me and my crew over. We're like, okay, this shit's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Then their second album was like, what is this? You know who was the worst of all time?
Mm.
Fucking Trivium.
Yeah.
Trivium's first album was the shit. The second album, it was Metallica the sequel. Like, what just happened,
what
right?
What happened?
And what happens sometimes, like what you're saying, that fear of success is then the overwhelming fear, the anxiety you get is from, can I duplicate?
Right.
And what happens a lot of times, and what with that example of that particular band is they get influenced then by other entities, other you know, people in their periphery, and now all of a sudden they change the secret sauce and no one wants their fucking Big Mac anymore.
Right.
I mean, I can speak to my career, like in this world.
Yeah.
I started out hot. I was doing my thing and my authentic, real fucking raw shit. And then I partnered up with somebody who's a little more khaki, right? Mm-hmm. A little more vanilla. And nothing wrong with that. That's his brand.
Right.
And it's fucking awesome. And it works for him. But boy, it just doesn't fit me as well.
Right.
And I remember going, ooh, I'm getting squishy, man. My content's getting squishy.
Yeah.
Like I'm like, hey, friends. Like,
yeah.
No. That's not like, what's up, motherfuckers? Right?
Right.
And so I had to be real. I had to reconnect with why it is I'm doing it.
Right.
And sure enough, as soon as I did that, like things started to tick back up. It felt real again. But that fear of success, like because you start comparing, right?
Right.
And what's working for them?
Right. You start looking around at the people that, you know, maybe you admire, maybe you don't really know them, or maybe you really do know them in real life, but you see what they're doing and what's working, and oh, they're getting all this feedback, and they're getting all these likes, and they're getting all these new clients, and so I'm gonna do that.
Right.
I'm gonna do this same thing.
Right.
And so you do it.
I own vests, but they're all made of leather.
Right. So you do it, and not only does it feel clunky, it looks clunky, and your audience or whoever reads it as clunky. And they're like, wait, what happened?
Right.
Like,
why are they trying to sound like
you
that?
You are so smooth. And that's really like the kiss of death. If they know you and the other person, they're like, why are you, is this a parody? What are you doing?
Right. You know? And it, you know, and that has to do with that, like, that perception of others, though, right? Is we want people to perceive us a certain way.
Right.
And that'll stop you. I mean, you know, we're talking about fear of success and repeating it, but that'll stop people from even fucking starting.
Yeah.
And what's interesting, like, when I, you know, I'll touch on the session I had today with this particular client was their fear of taking a risk, so much of it tied back to just showing up real.
Yeah.
Like, just being themselves.
Right.
That was the risky thing.
Right.
And it's crazy.
Which seems crazy.
Today it is crazy.
and yet.
I just played a clip of a man talking about girlhood.
Right.
Okay.
Right. But, you know, you spend so much of like your formative years watching everybody and you're trying to, you know, conform these little raw, weird edges of yourself so that you can just seamlessly blend in. So you're not going to stand out. You're not going to get left behind, but you don't have to lead the pack. You know, you don't have to run to catch up. And then at some point you're away from all those people.
Right.
None of those people are in your circle anymore. And so now you have to be yourself and you need to stand out and you want to stand out. And it is a difficult thing to try to shed that jacket of, let me just conform to, hello, this is me,
you know? Yeah, because so much of our identity is tied to, you know, the cliques we were a part of.
Yeah.
I think I was lucky. You and I were kind of lucky because we didn't really give a fuck about people in high school. We did.
Right.
But we were more worried about what we were doing.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't really.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I was like, I got a new Gap sweatshirt. I'm like, I got a new don't give a fuck.
Right.
Like, whatever it
is. Right. I mean, We didn't really conform in the clothing arena. Like,
no.
We both kind of wore what we wanted to wear. Yep. It wasn't like you had to be at a certain place. You and I pretty much hung out together all the time.
I was 41 before I realized that people from my high school wanted to hang out with me. They thought I didn't like them.
Which is hilarious.
Sorry, guys.
That's right.
We can dap it up sometime.
On purpose.
Get a sparkling water. But yeah, and it's one of those things where, you know, last week we talked about you're not done.
Right.
But this one is interesting because this one kind of bookends you're not done.
Right.
It's either you need to get the fuck started.
Right, right.
Or you need to sack up and take another risk. And that, you know, what's crazy about the risk taking, I keep saying calculators because it is important to do the quantitative analysis, figure out all the angles. Like, you know me, I'm a fucking numbers guy.
Yes.
It's got to make sense.
Right, right.
But it doesn't mean it's not going to be risky. It's not going to be scary.
Right. And the thing is even in the most calculated, you know, plans, if the word risk comes in, there is a risk. There is a chance it's not going to work out. There is a chance.
There is nothing you do on this planet that doesn't have a margin of error.
Right.
It's just,
I mean, the thing is you get in your car every day.
Right.
There's a risk that you're going to have an accident.
It's all you other idiots on the road with me. I know.
Right.
I'm a brilliant driver.
It's true.
He's
a good driver.
You don't have turn signals on your motorcycle. It's because I don't need them. I know where I'm going.
Right. See, it's the other people. They're the problem.
Morons. Pay attention. But you know, and it touches all facets of life, right? It's not just business. It's relationships, right? Like, how many people do we know that we've counseled, that we've coached, that have gotten burned really fucking hard,
right? Yes,
in a relationship,
really,
like,
really.
Just bad.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where, okay, got it, killer. But what do you want?
Right.
Well, I want that. Then you're going to have to get the fuck back out there, champ.
Right, exactly.
You have to take another at bat. You got to get back up there, man.
Yeah.
And it's scary.
Yes, it is. Because once you have taken a risk and it has fallen through, you know what the pain of that is.
Right.
You know what the disappointment of that is. And so it is hard to go, okay, I'm going to put myself right back in that position and the same thing could happen, or something amazing could happen.
Well, and that brings us back to one of the things you brought up is that fear of failure, right?
Right.
And it's like, what if it happens again? Well, here's the thing. The brilliant thing about failure, I brought this up in a session very recently, is like, and you've heard me say this before on this show and my show on fucking stages, right? I've said, I encourage people to fail with flying colors.
Yes.
Fail hard as fuck.
Right.
And then learn as much as you possibly can from that failure, because that's the thing. Like, oh, it's a failure. No, it's a fuck up, right? There's a big difference, and forgive the language, but don't. I don't care. A failure is when you don't try again. when you don't take another risk. That's a failure. A fuck up is when it didn't go according to plan and you learned a lot.
Right.
So now you've got all these ways to mitigate that fuck up happening again so you don't become a failure.
Yes, exactly.
It's a big difference.
Right. I mean, I think everybody can look back in their life in it, from, you know, wild things to very mundane things to, you know, average things where it's, you know, if I were to do it again, whatever it is, if I were to buy another house, I would make sure X, Y, and Z was in the contract.
Sure.
But it doesn't mean that buying your first house, even though maybe you didn't get a great interest rate, or maybe you didn't, you know, have your closing costs paid for, or, you know, you didn't get whatever carpet allowance to get that magenta carpet out of all the bathrooms, or, you know, whatever. Like, you now know the next time I do this, I can mitigate having to rip up that carpet myself by asking for X, Y, and Z. And it's the same thing in business, in relationships, you know, in your parenting, in everything.
And that's a perfect example to segue into one of the other big things, right?
Mm-hmm.
It stops people from taking that first or that next risk is regret.
Yeah.
Right? They let the regret of fuck-ups
weigh
them down so they don't take the next risk.
Yes.
And here's the thing. If you look at it as a learning experience rather than a regret, like maybe it is regrettable. Maybe there's some shit you wish hadn't happened.
Yeah.
But it is what it is now. What have you learned from it that you can apply to the next thing? So, I regret not telling them to rip out the magenta carpet.
Right.
But I've learned that next time I'm going to make sure they rip that shit out. Like, it's very simple. Don't live in the regret and stop yourself from moving forward.
Right. Right. Everybody has stuff that they wish had gone differently. Everybody. It doesn't make any difference who you are. And living in that does absolutely nothing for you except for to continue to pick the scab of that painful experience.
And so, I know what people are thinking. Yeah, well, we're not talking about magenta carpet, Travis and Jesse. We're talking about these big, big fuck ups.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It applies to that too.
Yes, exactly. Okay?
You're going to have to fucking move on.
Right. Right. I think, and really the thing is, I think in those kinds of scenarios, like if you've really, you really have to be able to forgive yourself first. You have to really be able to go, that was wrong of me, and that is out of my character. I don't want to do that again. I, you know, value myself and whatever, you know, whoever else in the relationship is more than putting either of us in that position again. And then you have to take that to the person or to whatever the situation is and lay it out. This is how I'm feeling about how my behavior was or how that scenario played out or whatever it is. And the rest of it then is on the other person. You can't force someone else to forgive you. You can't give them a timeline and say, well, you have 3 days to be upset about this.
Right.
And then I want it to be over and done with and I never want to hear about it again. It doesn't work that way. And if you truly want to be forgiven, you're going to let the other person work through it. And it may take them longer because they most likely were the recipient of this blindside.
Sure.
If it was something out of character or whatever, you have to allow that to happen. That is the only way to heal that whatever happened.
Right. But that doesn't mean if they're still processing, if they're still going through the stages of grief or whatever it is, that you've got to continue to live with regret on your back. You have to dump it. You have to move on. It's not because you're heartless, not because you don't care. It's because you have objectives. And one of the quickest ways to hammer through regret, at least in my experience, is gratitude.
Yes.
And that is like really taking a moment and look around and go, okay, how the fuck has it ended up though?
Right.
What have I got? How is my life? What is better now than it would have been?
Right.
Just take inventory real quick of your people, your place, all the stuff.
Yep.
And realize that, okay, well, it's not that fuck. I shouldn't have to regret that thing for forever.
Right.
Because look where I am. This is a great place to start into that next risk, right?
Yes.
That next move forward.
Right.
And that fucks people up.
Yeah.
It fucks everyone up all the time.
It does. It wouldn't, you know, we wouldn't have defined risk the way we do if it was meaningless.
Sure.
If it wasn't scary, if you didn't have to have some skin in the game. The thing about taking risks, though, and putting some skin in the game is that when it does work out, even in minute ways, it is really exciting.
Yes.
You really have something to be proud of. You have something really to celebrate. And you've also learned skills that you can turn around and go, did you want to do this too? Because I learned the first step.
One of the most fun things that can happen to you in your life are those moments on the backside of risk.
Yeah.
Where you can look around at your tribe and go, I can't believe that fucking worked.
I know. I can't believe it happened.
And look, like, I live that perpetually now.
Right.
That is my everyday.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've touched on it before, but when we started the business, when we respectively said, all right, we're ditching the regular 9-to-5.
Right.
We're saying, see you later, corporate sector. We're going to embark on this thing full time.
Yeah.
And see what, that is a big risk.
Yes, it is.
We were walking away, excuse me, from a lot of money.
Yeah.
Stability.
Right.
You know, reliable fucking income.
Right. Yeah. Bonuses and you
big
know.
Fucking risk,
right,
man.
Yeah.
And now I get to look at it every day and go, holy shit, I can't believe that fucking worked.
Right.
And it's not because I don't know that I'm good at speaking. It's not because right. I don't know that I'm good at coaching or that you're good at what you do. It's I know that we are good at these things.
Right.
But it's still like a yeah. risky move that yes. turns out way better than you thought is an ultimate ha ha high five to the fucking universe, man.
Right. That's like, you know, when our kids were really young, that's how I felt every night. You put them to bed, everybody's still in one piece and
right.
fed and happy and giving you hugs and kisses. And you walk out and you close the door and you go, I cannot believe I just did that.
You know, I was talking.
Can't believe I kept him alive for a whole other day.
I was talking to a client today, in fact, and I even said, like, anyone who tells you that the hardest job on the fucking planet isn't being a mom is a fucking liar. If you can't even do the math on how many calculated risks happen inside of a 15-minute window. Yeah. It is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like the fact that a fucking stay-at-home mom, someone who makes that their job on purpose, has the bandwidth to make any decisions beyond 3 o'clock in the afternoon without having been at decision fatigue and just making poor choices is fucking incredible. But it is because you are hyper risk takers.
Yeah.
And it's not, it is calculated. It is intentional. It is fucking well thought out.
Yes.
But you're not going to make it through with one, let alone four, two dogs, a cat, fucking you name it.
Right.
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 You're not going to make it through a 24-hour period unless you are a risk taker.
Right. We're going to have to take some risk here, guys.
You know, and whether that's cutting it down to the wire with, I got to be there right fucking now.
Yep.
Or, you know what? I'm going to step away from this boiling pot for just a second right. to give the baby the pacifier back.
Exactly.
Which one am I willing? And that's all it really boils down to
yes.
is what do you want more?
Right.
And what are you willing to give up?
Yes.
That's what yep. risk is.
Yes. It is a sacrifice. And you never in the beginning get to have your cake and eat it too. You have to be willing to risk something. And if you're not, you're not going to take the risk. You are going to miss out. And that is really the bottom line.
Absolutely.
That is the really the crappy part of not being bold enough to take the risk is you are going to miss out. There are things that you will never do. You will never experience because just, you couldn't gosh,
I'm
say
such
yes.
a dork. But it's just like at the beginning of the movie Troy. When a little boy goes to get Achilles, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, the king wants you. And he's like, tell him I'll get there when I get there. He's like, yeah. You can't talk to a king that way. It's a risky move, right?
Right, yeah.
And Achilles looks him dead in his fucking eyes. He goes, and that's why no one's going to remember your name.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Do you want to get it done?
Yes.
Do you want to make impact in your life and other people's lives?
Yes.
Do you want to fucking really live this motherfucker? Then
right.
you're going to have to take some risks.
Yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
saying go in and tell your boss to fuck off tomorrow.
Right, no.
Unless, no. I don't know your circumstance.
Right, that may be exactly what's supposed to happen.
Maybe they need it.
But make it a calculated risk
right.
if that's the case. Do you have 3 to 6 months of savings so that you can keep your lights on and keep feeding your family?
You know? And the reality is, like, most folks who are listening to this can go, you know what? Like, if you take a moment and really look at what you've done in life.
Yeah.
Because so many people are like, I'm not a risk taker.
Right.
And then you start talking to them. Okay, well, talk to me from, like, 19 till today.
Yeah.
And you hear this crazy fucking saga that their life is and
right.
all the things they've overcome and
yeah.
and places where they had to just get by so they could make this big move
yeah.
happen. I'm like, you're not a fucking risk taker. What are you talking
about? What are
about?
You talking about?
You're fucking Evel Knievel, man.
The thing is, though, is to be able to do that. I would encourage everybody in this moment to think of somebody that they could sit down with and just like you said, talk your life from 19 to now.
It's wild.
And,
I do it with clients all the time.
And
they're like, holy
look,
shit.
Right. And look at what you've done, where you've been, the decisions you've had to make, the things that you have had to sacrifice, the things that you've gained. And look at how brave you really are. Whether it was because you were forced into a corner and
right.
you had to make the decision, or whether it was because you really were like, A or B,
yeah.
A or B, A or B. And you just picked.
Yeah.
regardless, that there is not one that is more brave than the other or more exciting than the other or a bigger risk than the other.
Right. And I, so I, you know, I try not to take it this way because I'm such a tactical person. That's my way my brain works. But I'm going to just drizzle a little fucking woohoo caramel topping on top real quick. And that is this. Like, I get nudges. You know this. Yeah. And it is a fucking compulsion for me. Like, if I get a nudge, I cannot not follow it. Right. I'll think about it. I'm like, is this really like, nope, got to do it. Okay.
Right, yeah.
And it could be in the middle of the fucking night. Like, I'll be right back. I got to do this.
Yeah.
I believe that's a real thing.
Yeah.
I believe that whatever you want to call it, the cosmos, the universe, God, whatever the fuck it is, I think you're here for a purpose. And I can tell you that no one walks out their purpose without taking some risk.
Right.
And so if you're getting hit with a nudge that scares the shit out of you, man, I'm telling you, like, that might be something to give another look. You might want to lean into that nudge a little bit because, in my experience, not just my own personal life, but the lives of people that I'm close with and have seen their trajectory and watched over time, following those scary fucking nudges and taking that risk has paid off fucking big time.
Yes, yes.
And not just for them, but the people's lives they've impacted because they had the fucking intestinal fortitude to lean into that nudge.
Right, right. And I think the other kind of like crazy thing is that you're not the only one. You're not the only one who's decided, I got this nudge and I need to do something about it, or I have this desire to do something. And there are people that have gone before you, and there are people that are really successful doing it. And you could be the next really successful story if you are willing to take the risk and put yourself out there. And I think that's really the place where people hold back, is when it's about putting themselves out there.
100%.
I find that it's less about money. It's less about the house they live in. It's less about, you know, all of these extra things that, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, that it's very personal. If I put what I believe, if I put what my heart is, what my passion is for people out there, and it gets rejected, can I take it?
Yeah. And here's what I tell folks that struggle with that. And I think a lot of people do, so much in fact that like I use this strategy with myself, and I've actually used it twice today.
Mm.
And that is this. Okay, you're hyper-fixated on what everyone else might think, and you're in competition, right? Everyone's like, I fly in the face of conventional wisdom when it comes to the coaching arena, when it comes to this, because most people say something nice to yourself, and you shouldn't be, not everything's a competition, and blah, 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 fuck that.
Right.
You know what? Everything is a fucking competition. It is. Everything. And what I've been able to identify in myself and so many people around me is that everyone is their own biggest critic.
Yes.
Everyone.
Yep.
And so when you figure that out and you realize, okay, hold on a second, my bar for myself is actually exponentially higher than it is for the rest of the planet, then you realize that, well, hold on, if everything's a competition and I'm my own biggest critic and my bar is higher than everyone else's, then I'm really only competing with myself.
Right.
And if I am 1 degree better than I was yesterday, I am kicking my ass.
Right. Get out there and kick your own ass.
I am fucking winning.
Exactly.
I'm winning.
Right.
So fuck what everyone else thinks.
Yes.
If I'm that critical of myself, then compete with me.
Right.
Compete with the version of me from yesterday. And if I'm a half step better, I'm fucking winning.
Right.
I am now beating who I thought in my brain was the fucking pinnacle.
Right.
I'm doing better.
Right.
Exactly. Fucking embrace that shit.
Yes.
Don't feel bad because you're competitive. Don't feel bad because you fucking push yourself because you're driven.
Right.
I have horrible self-talk when I'm in the gym. When I'm really pushing towards an objective, when I'm working on content, I'm like, come on, motherfucker, you can do it, you piece of shit. Right?
Yeah.
And then I get done. I high-five my damn self and move on.
And I think that's it. That's the thing, is it's finding a blend, what motivates you, and once you've seen it through, then celebrate with yourself.
Yeah.
You know, it's okay. It's okay to be really proud of yourself. It's okay to look at yourself in the mirror and go, man, that was really scary and you killed it.
I want to do an experiment with our audience.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the experiment. This is a homework assignment that I give clients.
Mm.
And I've given it out several times this month, and it's the why I'm a badass list.
Yeah.
Right? So here's what I would challenge you to do, is make a list every morning, write one reason why you're a bad motherfucker.
Mm.
And two pieces of evidence to support it. So, right, like, you're a good mom, right? That makes you a badass. Because a lot of people suck at it.
Yeah.
So you're a badass because of that. And there, you could make 37,000 things of evidence to support that, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then on those days where you wake up feeling less than a bad motherfucker,
right?
I want you to look at your list and go, okay, this is what's true about me. And right. And I'll tell you the why behind this real quick. It's easy for me to say this because they make movies and shit about what I used to do for a living, right? So it's easy to go, I'm a badass. But I didn't even embrace that. Like when I was a kid, I'm vamping, sorry, but this is part of the homework, right? When I was a kid, I knew that I was a scrapper. Mm-hmm. I knew that I would fight you. I knew that I would probably try and beat your ass, but I didn't consider myself a badass, mm-hmm. right? It wasn't until after my first deployment that I got my V device.
Yeah.
And I stood in front of my battalion. I listened to the citation.
Right.
And I heard them. Now, what they said is accurate.
Yes.
Line for line, what I did that day.
Yes.
But when I heard someone else say it, I remember calling you like, I'm kind of a fucking badass.
Yeah. And I was like, I know.
But I didn't know it.
Right.
I had to hear it listed out. I had to hear it written out. What did I do? Because every day we go through it. We go through the motions. We take these risks. We don't celebrate. We don't celebrate a fucking thing that we do. I'm not saying be boastful, but I've also said this a lot recently to clients. I feel like the swirl is in sync right now. And that is, it's not fucking bragging if it's true.
Right.
And once I heard it listed out, these things that I had done in order.
Right.
That wasn't just fucking Tuesday anymore.
Right.
That was, holy shit, I'm a badass, dude.
Right. Right. Yes, you stood toe-to-toe with fear and death and looked them right in the eye, and you came out on top.
And that's an extreme example, but what you go through today and what everyone listening to this goes through today is no less important, no less impactful, right? It's still fucking scary.
Yeah.
It's still challenging. It's still going to have its struggle points.
Yes.
So capture, why am I a badass?
Yeah.
So when that next risky move comes up, you're not afraid.
Right.
You're fucking Kevin McAllister. I'm not afraid anymore, not motherfuckers, afraid anymore. Right?
Right. And you have tangible evidence
to
show yourself, look, here's all the things.
Here is the proof.
Yep.
It's a big fucking deal.
Yeah.
Give yourself a little fucking credit, man. The plan is trying to kill you and you're surviving. You're doing pretty good.
Right.
Sorry. I got a little ranty.
No, absolutely. I agree 100%.
Anything else?
I think that's a great spot to end it. Do your homework, guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, hope you guys dug it. Hope you took something away from it. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye.